Father, thank you, Lord, for our fellowship this morning. We give you, Lord, praise. Give you, Lord, glory. Hallelujah. We thank you because the entrance of your word gives light. It brings in light and gives understanding to the simple. Even so, let it be. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for these promises that by these, O Lord, we might war a good warfare, knowing what you have promised for us. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, I'm going to just read through some promises all the way from the Old Testament to the New. So many promises that God has given concerning protection for us, protection and deliverance, all the way from even when, you know, he spoke to Abraham, he said, you know, that, he would be the shield to Abraham. Right from the beginning, see that there are powerful promises all the way through. So we're going to just examine some of these promises and see, you know, what the Lord would promise us throughout the scriptures. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1. I am thy shield, he said to Abraham. Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield. An exceeding great reward. Now, if the Lord is your shield, well, you know, then there is nothing that can penetrate. A shield is used for protection, to ward off attack, either missiles, arrows, different things like that. You know, and if the Lord were indeed our shield, well, then we've got assurance, you know, of the an absolute protection from the Lord. So Genesis 15 and 1, the Lord gave that assurance, you know, right away. He said, I am thy shield and exceeding great reward. Not only is he your shield, but he is also your exceeding great reward. You know, that also ought to give us some confidence. You don't need any reward from anybody. You know, the Lord himself is your reward. Praise the Lord. And, you know, so sometimes when we think, you know, people don't care and not rewarded or whatever, or people pass you over, don't worry about it. You know, the Lord is your shield and exceeding great reward. It's a beautiful and powerful promise. And as we've said before, you know, when the Lord would, you know, would tell us certain things, well, let's pay attention to what the Lord is saying. And don't jump ahead of the Lord, because we see the story here of what God was promising Abraham. But, you know, his reaction was not the way it should have been. You know, Abraham should have said, oh, my goodness, thank you, Lord. Because now I know that no matter where I go, no evil shall befall me, because you are my shield. And you are my exceeding great reward. Therefore, I know I will lack nothing. I mean, these are the kinds of things when God promises us something, you know, these are the kinds of things that, you know, we need to, how we should respond to the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, so shield and exceeding great reward. Isn't that beautiful? So let's look at what the Lord promised the children of Israel. Fast forward to when they were in the land of Egypt, and God was fixing to bring them out. And it's a powerful promise that the Lord gave in the book of Exodus chapter 11, after he sent Moses over there, challenged Pharaoh to let God's people go. And of course, you know the story, how Pharaoh was stubborn and wouldn't do it. And the Lord said, well, you know, I'm going to show you something. I mean, after many signs and wonders, this time around, it's going to be the firstborn in the land of Egypt that shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that seated upon his throne to the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of all the beasts. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt. Exodus 11 and verse 6. There shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none, you know, like it, and shall be none after it. But against, listen to this, while Egypt will be suffering and lamenting and, you know, I mean, just lamenting over the loss of their firstborn, everyone, every family, every beast, and everything. He said, but against any of the children of Israel shall not even a dog move his tongue. Against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. Glory to God. Powerful. When the Lord gives you this kind of, you know, when the Lord gives you this kind of promise, it is so powerful. And the Lord used this to encourage me and encourage local church here during the years of COVID. You know, I remember seeking the Lord just, you know, before the COVID year, the early first day of the year that year. Generally, I come out to the church on the first service of the year and give a word that the Lord had given, encourage the people. And the Lord gave me this word while I was seeking him some days before. And he said, well, tell the people that there will be pestilence, but I will make a differentiation between them and the world. And there will be gross darkness. And, you know, there was a calendar full of darkness, and then there was a calendar full of light and bubbling light. And I come out there and just said it the way the Lord said it. Didn't know anything about COVID at the time. But about 3 months later or so, we started to hear about COVID. Oh, wow. And then it took the whole world, you know, hostage. And it seemed like, you know, all we saw for months and months and months was numbers of people dying and different things. And it seemed like this was an unbelievable thing. But we held on to the word of the Lord that said, well, I'll make a differentiation between you and the world. Because God promised that. We kept reminding ourselves, God promised it, that he's going to do it. And so you just believe the Lord. And he did it. Praise the Lord. And I remember this story in the life of the children of Israel, when God promised them protection. He also asked them to do something. He said, you know, they should kill a lamb for an house, and put the, you know, blood of the lamb on the doorposts. And that, you know, when the angel of destruction passed by, he said in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 13, that, you know, when I see the blood on your doorposts, and the destroyer will pass over you. And I, you know, I believe that if any Egyptian, even though God meant to destroy them, if any Egyptian, even a firstborn, of any Egyptian had been in a house of one of those children of Israel that had a blood over the doorpost, God would have spared him. Because as far as God was concerned, when I see the blood, I will pass over. You know, so it didn't matter who was inside that house. Everyone that would have been inside that house would have been saved. Now, that's a powerful promise of protection. When I see the blood, I will cause the devourer and the destroyer to pass over you. And that's something that we must remember. And every day, remember the power of that blood, what that thing signified. According to Revelation 12:11, they overcame the devil, you know, and the destruction and everything by the blood of the Lamb. So always put that blood upon your house, symbolically, upon yourself, upon your children, you know. Many people know how to do that. I say, well, I cover myself with the blood of Jesus, plead the blood of Jesus over this and that, and so on. Well, you know, you should really put your faith into it. It's not just a something we chant like that. It's, you know, you remind the Lord every time you say it, you remind the Lord that that's what he said. Genesis 12 and 13. I see the blood. Destruction and destroyer will pass over you. Praise the Lord. That's a powerful, powerful promise. I'm going to pick out some promises here and there that I want us to see. There's many more, but I just picked out a few. Again, there is a story. Let's fast forward to the book of Numbers. There's a story in the life of the children of Israel. Numbers, 22, 23, etc. What was happening there? Well, let's find out. You know, there was, you know, the things that Israel had done to the Moabites by the power of God, how they had smitten them, you know. And so Moab was always afraid of them. And not only Moab, everybody else, Midian, the Midianites, and Moabites, and so everybody. So this man called Balak, son of Zippor, who was king of the Moabites at the time, he sent a message to Balaam, who was a seer at the time, and said to him, curse these people for me, you know, put a spell on them. But I venture, maybe I will prevail over them and smite them, you know, and drive them out of the land, you know, I mean, because I know that whomever you bless is blessed, and whoever you curse is cursed. And as the story went, you know, at first Balaam said, well, you know, I can't do it. You know, but after he promised him many things, you know, he started wanting to do it. The Lord came to him and said, don't do it now. These people are blessed. You can't do that. But the one verse that I want to read, I mean, you know that story. I don't want to go too much into that story today. But one verse that I want to read, you know, out of that whole thing is Numbers 23:23. Powerful statement. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time, it shall be said of them, what hath God wrought? Ha! Hallelujah. That's a powerful testimony about the people of God, that there can be no enchantment against them and no divination, you know, that will work against them. But instead, people will see them and say, wow, see what the Lord has done for them. That's a powerful, powerful statement for you to latch onto. You can use that for yourself anytime, you know. Now, people, unfortunately, rather than believing the Lord like this. You know, I hear people say all the time that, you know, this is happening to me, that's happening, there's this and that, that somebody is doing, and so on. Well, Bible already said no enchantment or divination will work against you. You know, so don't even give any place to the devil. According to Ephesians 4, we're told in verse 27, don't give any place to the devil. Don't let the devil think that he got anything. He got nothing. But the Bible says his enchantments, his divinations, his weapons, and all these things shall not prosper against you. So it's a powerful, you know, promises of protection and deliverance for us. Praise the Lord. In the book of Deuteronomy, you know, chapter 31, verses 6 and 8, the Lord promises, he said, he will be with you. He will not fail you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. You know, and even in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, they're still quoting that. But here's how God said it in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 31. He will go with you. You know, he said, it is the Lord thy God that doth go with you. Praise the Lord. Wherever you are, wherever you're going, where you are in your city or traveling to someplace else, or whatever you're doing, take this word with you. He said, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not and be not afraid of anything. You know, any trouble in the land, wherever you are going, you know, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with you, and he will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Praise the Lord. You know, and I often latch on to that promise. You know, sometimes, you know, we travel to places where we hear of evil report at all time. You know, but taking this scripture, well, it said, the Lord will go with you. He will never fail thee nor forsake you. Praise the Lord. He said that in verse 6, and he said it again in verse 8. And the Lord, he it is that doth go with you and before you. He will be with you. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Powerful, powerful statement that should encourage your heart everywhere you go. Use that scripture for yourself and know that that's what the Lord has said and he promised it. Now, moving on to the book of Job. Chapter 5 and verse 12. The Lord shall disappoint all the devices of the wicked, so that their hands shall not be able to perform any of their evil enterprises against you. That's right. Praise the Lord. Now, evil enterprises, people can set a trap. People try to blow up a place. We see gunmen and different things bringing guns and just shooting people up. It's not going to happen to you. Praise the Lord. You got to believe God for his protection. It's a sad, sad day. Every time you hear of these shootings, in public places, on beaches, in schools, in different places, even in churches, you know, just rise up and do this evil. But we got to start believing the word of God and start quoting this word of God. And start believing it for ourselves and using it to push back the forces of the devil in the name of Jesus. We've got to use the word of God, and the Lord will honor it if we begin to stand firm on it. And where, if there is for sure evil determined that cannot be changed, then the Lord will make sure you're not there. Praise the Lord. You know, and where you are, the evil will not be there. You know, that's a way where we must believe and we must claim these things for ourselves. Praise God. Psalm 5 and verse 11. The Lord says that as many as put their trust in him, well, the Lord is going to protect them. Glory to God. Blessed, you know, are those people that put their trust in the Lord. Let them that put their trust in you, Lord, rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them, and let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. That's a powerful promise of protection and defending by the Lord. The Lord will be your defense. He said the Lord will defend them that put their trust in him. He will defend them. The Lord is the one defending you. praise God. You know, one time there was a man that came, you know, to chide over Israel. Sennacherib and Rabshakeh. And they came in the days of Hezekiah to make mockery and to tell them, you know, he said, look, you better surrender to us, because otherwise we're going to lay this place waste, just like we've laid waste all the other nations all around and cast all their gods into the fire and so on. And those gods were not able to deliver them out of our hands. So he began to speak to the people on the wall. Don't put your trust in this Hezekiah, thinking that he will, you know, instruct you to follow the Lord and so forth. Which God? Isn't he the same God that sent me over here to make you drink your own piss? I mean, they were just, I mean, talking to these people anyhow and just dressing them down and blaspheming even. I said, well, you know, so what did you, when the words were then recounted to Hezekiah, told to him, he went in prayer before the Lord and he said, Lord, hear the words of this Sennacherib, whom he has sent, you know, to ridicule the living God. And then he began to tell the Lord, you know, he said, oh, of a truth, Lord, all the kings of Assyria, of course, they've laid down all the nations, their countries and everything. You can find this story in a couple different places in the Bible, in Kings and in Isaiah. I'm just paraphrasing this one in Isaiah chapter 37. They cast their gods into the fire, but they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. Now, it's a powerful way that this man prayed. See? And let's consider the way he prayed. First of all, you know, he laid out his problem before the Lord, the threats that they were having. And he said, now, therefore, O Lord, our God. I love this prayer. You know, this is Isaiah chapter 37 and verse 20. Now, therefore, O Lord, our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou alone. And I love it. I love the way he put this prayer. Challenge God. You know, and I often say to people, look, when you make it God's fight, the Lord will definitely stand up and fight for his own name. This time, it's exactly what Hezekiah was saying. You know, he put it on the Lord. Look, let not the, you know, this man prevail against you. And let, you know, let defend your name so that the people may know. And that's a powerful way for us to pray. He could have prayed this prayer and said it this way. He said, Lord God, deliver us from his hand, so that our cities will not be destroyed, that our wives do not become widows, our children do not become fatherless, etc., etc. Our posterity be not destroyed. I mean, he didn't say it that way. He said, you know, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the world, of the earth, may know that thou art God, even thou alone. Now, when you pray that kind of prayer, God is going to stand up and do marvelous things. And of course, the Lord said, yeah, that he was going to stand up And he said he's going to defend the city for his own name's sake. And he did. And at the end of it all, he sent the angel of the Lord, went forth and smote. You know, this is what the Lord said. He said, thus said the Lord concerning the king of Assyria. He shall not come into this place. Verse 33 of Isaiah 37. He shall not come here, shoot an arrow or do whatever. You know, come against it with shields. He's not going to do it. He's not even going to cast a punk around it. He's not going to be able to secure the place. By the way he came, the same way he shall return. He shall not come into this city, said the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake. Because that's what Hezekiah asked the Lord to do, for his own sake and for my servant David's sake. Then the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians. Just one angel of the Lord. That's all it takes. 185,000 slain by the angel of the Lord in one night. Because God stood up to fight for his own name. Now, so, you know, it's a powerful lesson when we are faced with difficulties, you know, Red Sea moments and different things. Your backs are against the wall, when there are situations that you cannot, there's just no way around, you cannot get around that situation. Overwhelming situations, you are confounded, and all these things. Well, remember, when you cry out to the Lord, if you can just find a way, muster enough courage to put that fight back in the Lord's court, and say, Lord, this is your fight. Let your name be glorified. Deliver me in this situation so that these people may know. And of course, before then, you know, you can make your boast in the Lord. You can say, well, the Lord is going to deliver me. And then you turn around and say, you know, to the Lord, deliver me so that they will know that you are a God that is able to save. And when you put it on the Lord like that, he's going to do something about it. You know, he's going to do something about it, because he's not going to let the hidden or the devil or the people that mock the Lord prevail against his own name. He's going to fight for his own name. And Hezekiah prayed a powerful prayer. He said, thou art the God that dwelt between the cherubims, our God alone. Of a truth, they have cast out all those gods and different things into the fire, for they were no gods. But you are the living God. Now show forth your power. Let these people know that you are indeed the living God. And the Lord said, yeah, I will defend this city. I will defend it for my great name's sake. And he did too. Praise the Lord. Powerful promise that the Lord said he would defend those that put their trust in him. Hallelujah. Psalm 12 and verse 5. Another powerful promise of protection of people from their oppressors. You know, those that oppress you, etc. Well, it's a promise there. The Lord will deliver the poor, you know, the one that is at a disadvantage, basically. You know, these people are too strong for me. Sammy said, the Lord delivered me from those who are too strong for me. You know. And now, he said, the Lord promised. He said, I will arise and put him in safety. You know. And I will separate him from him that is oppressing him. The oppression of the poor and the sighing of the needy will cause the Lord to arise and fight for you. Praise God. In a situation when you think that you are overpowered, outnumbered, well, many stories like that in the Bible, you turn your eyes unto the Lord. Jehoshaphat was outnumbered 3-1, and their companies were much larger. Moab, you know, Ammon and Mount Seir, they came up against him in 2 Chronicles 20. And he said, we have no might against these people, but our eyes are upon you. And that's the secret right there. That's the beginning of your deliverance. When you realize that you don't have the power within yourself to win the victory, but you make your confession that you are trusting in the Lord. I say, well, our eyes are upon you, Lord. Even though we may have, you know, we may be outnumbered, but our eyes are upon you. And then he prayed and powerful prayers. And of course, the Lord answered. And that's right. The Lord answered them powerfully and said, well, this will not be your fight. I'm going to fight for you. And I am going to deliver you. You know, there is nothing that you even need to do. I will fight for you. Praise the Lord. Listen to how Jehoshaphat prayed. He said in 2 Chronicles 20 and 5, Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem, the house of the Lord, before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art thou not God in heaven? Do thou not rule over the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? When you tell God how great he is and all the things he can do, of course, you know, he's going to back that up and show it to you even more. Art not thou our God, which did drive out the inhabitants of the land before thy people Israel and gave it into the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And he began to tell him all these things. You know, and he said, well, you are definitely the Lord. It's children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which you wouldn't let us touch them when we pass by. See how they now repay us. You know, to cast us out of thy possession, whom you have given us, which you have given us to inherit. Oh, our God, will thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company. You know, we don't even know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. So that's a secret right there. When you don't know what to do, when you can't figure out, you know, what next you're going to do in this battle and this great conflict? Well, turn your eyes upon the Lord. And the Lord told him, he said, look, don't be afraid or dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Well, but you got to make it God's battle. If you make it God's battle, then God will fight for you. And he said, look, you shall not need to fight in this battle at all. Just set yourself, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. God will show you. Be not dismayed. The Lord will do great things. Praise God. You know, so God fought for them. I'm talking about how God can fight for you, defend you, no matter which situation you face. We've seen many stories in the Bible like that. Praise the Lord. And God will do it. Now, David was a man that knew how to invoke God as his deliverer. He knew how to invoke God as his shield and his protection. I mean, he would say things like in Psalm 18 and verses 1 and 2, he would say these words to the Lord. The Lord is my shield, is my deliverer, is my rock, is my fortress. I mean, it's all these things. I mean, that's how he prayed. And of course, you know, God always responded in kind. When the man turned to the Lord like that, he said, I will love thee, Lord, O my strength. The Lord is my rock. The Lord is my fortress. The Lord is my deliverer. The Lord is my strength. It's my buckler. It's the horn of my salvation. It's my high tower. I mean, begin to tell God all these great things. I will call upon the Lord, worthy to be praised. And you know, this man, David, let me just throw this in here. You know, he knew the right buttons to press. Just put it that way. He was a man, you know, that knew what to say, you know, how to exalt God. And he put his trust in God and was absolutely persuaded that God could fight and deliver him, fight for him. And he would call God my shield, my fortress, my buckler, and under your wings I will trust. And he would say all these things. When he told the Lord, he said, look, no one can deliver you from your hand. Got a strong arm, powerful. You tell God all these great things. But then God answered him back. He said, the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaking because the Lord was wroth. There went out a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth devoured, and coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens and came down. And I say, can your prayer do this? I mean, can you pray, you know, with such a passion and conviction to the Lord that will make him respond like this? You have this kind of power with God? Of course you can. You know, but you'd have to do it like David did. David said, I will call upon the Lord, you know, who is my strength, my shield, my deliverer, you know, a very present help for me in trouble. And he'll call the Lord these things. He's my shepherd. I will not fear. My song, my, you know, salvation, the light of my life, and on and on and on. When he began to say these things to the Lord, well, then the Lord himself stood up, blasted with his nostrils. Bible said the Lord talked that in the heavens, you know, and the highest gave his voice. Hailstones and coals of fire. He sent out his arrows and scattered all the enemies of David. Put out lightnings and discomfited them. Channels of the waters were broken. I mean, see how God responded for him. And the Lord sent and took me, threw me out of many waters, delivered me, see, from my strong enemy. And from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me, but never for the Lord. But the Lord was my stay, brought me up also into a large place, delivered me because the Lord delighted in me. Well, why? Well, David was always making the high praises of God glorious, even in his mouth, and so on and so forth. You know, so when we learn how to pray powerful prayers that exalt the arm of the Lord, well, then he will show for. You know, when you tell God how great his arm is, he's going to flex that arm for you. flex that arm. He said, look, I, the Lord, have sworn by myself and by my right hand. It's like he flexes his arms. And who's strong enough to arm wrestle the Lord? You get into an arm wrestling, you know, and you're going to try to arm wrestle the hand of the Lord down. Can you do it? He said, well, I have sworn by myself and by the strength of my right hand. The Lord did it too, you know, and David knew how to invoke those things, you know, when the Lord would strengthen him and encourage him, he himself would encourage himself in the Lord. And God will always step up and fight for him. Glory to God. The Lord will also step up and fight for you. You know, let's see something that God said in the book of Isaiah about his strong arm. Praise the Lord. You know, the Lord has sworn by his right hand. Isaiah 62 and verse 8. And by the arm of his strength. Just picture the Lord flexing his muscles. You know, when you see all these power builders, bodybuilders, and so forth, you know, they flex their muscles to show how strong their muscles can be. Well, think of the Lord flexing his muscles. That's what he's saying here. I'm swaying by my right hand, the arm of my strength. Huh? Let's see if you can wrestle that arm down. Can't do it. Surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thy enemies. That's right. And the sons of the stranger shall not drink thy wine for the which thou hast labored. Glory to God. But they that have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Lord. And they that have brought it together shall drink it in the court of my holiness, saith the Lord. You know, you're not going to labor and then somebody else come in there and eat it. No. The Lord said, enough of that. You know, and he's going to fight for you. going to defend you by the arm of his strength. Isn't that beautiful? Praise the Lord. Listen to this. In Psalm 23, what the Lord meant to David, put it out here. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. Huh? David himself was a shepherd boy. And he knew how he, you know, tended to the sheep and all. And looking at, you know, using all of that to understand how the Lord also would protect his own. Because David, I would lay down his life for the sheep. Did too. The lion, the bear, and anything that came up against those sheep, David's going after them. You know, and then he was looking at the Lord and say, well, my goodness, this is how the Lord will protect me as well. The Lord is my shepherd. David always personalized everything about God. You know, he didn't just say the Lord is the shepherd. No, the Lord is my shepherd. Huh. He is my fortress. He is my rock. He is my salvation. He has even become my song. I mean, everything about David and God was personalized. You know, and it was like, I mean, as if he had this exclusive right on the Lord. The Lord is my God. He is my life. He is my this. He is my that. Well, when you relate to God like that, well, God's going to show himself strong on your behalf. Because, you know, you call him strength, then he will be your strength. You call him healer, then he will be your healer. You call him your shield, your rock, your fortress, your high tower, and he will be exactly that for you. And he said, well, I will not fear any evil. So God, you know, protection from evil. Psalm 23 and verse 4. Even when I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, no matter what I'm going through, I know the Lord is bringing me through. I'm coming out on the other side. He said it too. And the Lord will be with me. He will set a table before me and all of that. I mean, he had this confidence. Listen to what he said in Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. I mean, look at how he said it. You know, there's nobody like him in that Bible when it comes to, you know, personalizing God's protection. Calling out the attributes of God, I would do that for him. Nobody. You know? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came up to eat of my flesh, they stumbled and fell. You know? Because of the way that this man took the Lord. God always fought for him. You know? He said, look, I don't care if an host is encamped against me. I'm not afraid. War and everything. And even in those situations, I will be confident. Praise the Lord. He will always be confident. He was never afraid because he knew, I mean, that the Lord would fight for him. He made God his personal God. Not just, you know, some God, but it was to him, it was a personal thing. And the Lord would always, always, you know, fight for him. Many promises and many attributes of the Lord's power to deliver, we learn and find out from David. You know, in Psalm 18, he said, look, all nations may compass me about, you know, Psalm 118 verse 10. But in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them all. Doesn't matter at all. Even they compass me about, say, I will destroy them. They may compass me about by bees and all these things. But in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. For the Lord is my strength and my song, and it's become my salvation. Psalm 118 and verse 14. I mean, the Lord, you know, he's the one that teaches my hands, you know, to war, my fingers to fight. By my God, I leap over walls and run through trips. I mean, this man, you couldn't stop him. You know, and the Lord would always answer him because of the confidence that he put in the Lord. He said, well, some people put their confidence in horses, some in princes, some in chariots and so forth. He said, but no, I'm going to trust in the name of the Lord. In the name of my God, will I set up my banners? And those people that put their strength in, trust in this and that, they will fall. But we who put our trust in the Lord, we will be on our feet standing. Psalm 20. The Lord is powerful like that. And he will be our protection and our deliverance. But you got to personalize it for yourself. You know, there's a lot of evil in the land today. There's so much evil, you know, that people are, you know, afraid. The Bible says men's heart failing them for fear, for looking after those things that are coming. Different things that are happening now. You know, deceivers, deceiving, wicked people getting even more wickedly, doing more wickedly, and so forth. Well, but the Lord will be thy shield and thy protection. And he will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. Psalm 34, you know, verses 7 and 9 and 19. The angel of the Lord will deliver those that fear the Lord, even no matter what they are going through. He said, you know, angel of the Lord encamps around those that fear the Lord. So, do you fear the Lord? That's the question we need to ask ourselves here. If you fear the Lord, well, then it's guaranteed that the angel of the Lord will be around you. You don't even need to pray about that one. All you need to pray is that the Lord should teach you the fear of the Lord. And if you know how to walk in his fear and the integrity of your heart, well, Bible says many may be the afflictions of the righteous, verse 19 of Psalm 34, but the Lord will deliver him out of them all. Ha! Glory to God. Now, many, not few, you know, to show that the Lord is good and that the Lord, his ways are perfect. He will deliver you. Just because you are righteous doesn't mean you are not going to fall into troubles or difficult times. It's, you know, time and chance and evil and everything happen to everybody. But the grace of the Lord will pull out those that trust in the Lord to be their defense. God will deliver you. He will strengthen you out of Zion. Praise God. He will help you too. If you make the Lord your help. The God of my help, Yahweh. You know, the stone of help, Ebenezer. Is the Lord, is God. I mean, make God personal for yourself. Promises of protection that we have with the Lord. See. The Lord is our refuge and strength. Psalms 46 and verse 1. A very present help in trouble. Now, when you read these Psalms of David, I mean, you know, they just exude confidence. I mean, it's just like the way he puts it out there. I love to read the Psalms and the book of Isaiah, those two places. I mean, in between those two, so powerful promises of protection. I'll get to Isaiah's promises in a bit. I'm just going through the Old Testament, you know, from book to book and so forth. Yeah. Powerful promises of God's protection. What God declared for his people all over the book of Isaiah. And, this, between the book of Psalms and Isaiah, you know, you have all the victory in the world that you need. You know, I just want to go through this, give you some of these scriptures, encourage you, especially this time of year. People are always apprehensive towards the end of the year. They say, well, there's all a lot of evil that happened. No, I always see a lot of goodness this end of the year. I don't see evil because I've determined I will hear no evil. I will see no evil. I will think no evil and I will speak no evil. That's right. You know, so why should I see evil when the Lord is with me? You know, so don't think of evil. Think of good things. If there be any praise, if there be any virtue, think of things that are of good report. That's what Philippians 4 and 8 says. Channel your thoughts into good things. Don't think of evil. You know, don't think that evil is going to happen. Evil is not going to happen to you. If you think of evil, well, be careful now, you know, because, you know, the things that we, if we dignify fear, yeah, the devil will take advantage of it. He can smell that fear. It's been said even in science, animals, wild animals, they can smell that adrenaline, the fear, and so forth. You know, so don't give them any chance, you know, to even do that. I mean, Job said, look, the things which I have greatly feared has come upon me. Job chapter 3 and verse 25. Well, what was it he was afraid of? He was always afraid that evil might happen to his children, you know. So he would pray for them, which was a good thing. He would even offer sacrifices on their behalf. Say, well, I don't know. This is my children. I have sinned. Maybe some evil will befall them. Let me pray for them. I mean, it was a good thing, but in his heart, he was still nurturing fear. You know, get rid of that fear, you know, because at the end, he said, well, the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, you know. So don't let the devil take advantage of that fear. You know, be strong in the Lord, the power of his might, you know. You are the apple of God's eye. There shall no evil before you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. Think of yourself like that. Think of any evil. Praise God. You know, God is able, you know, to do great things for us. Psalm 91, all of it, you know, especially the first 13 verses, powerful promises of protection and deliverance, you know, that God gave, and the way that David wrote it. Again, you know, some powerful secrets in there. You know, those that dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Well, there is a place, you know, we're told, you know, which no fowl knoweth. You know, there are these demonic spirits and so forth. Like, there's a place they can't get into. You know, what is that place? Well, it's called the secret place of the Lord, you know. Where is it found? It's, you know, you hide yourself in his presence. Psalm 27 said, one thing have I desired, that will I seek of the Lord, that I may hide myself. You know, and I will dwell in his, they used to call it the house of the Lord. We call it the presence of the Lord now. You say, well, I may dwell in his presence because, you know, because if I dwell in his presence, he will hide me in his pavilion from trouble. So stay in his presence with the word of the Lord, in praising him and repeating his word. We talked about the last 2 days using the word of God to change situation around you. The combination of, you know, your being cognizant and aware of his presence with praising him in confidence, declaring victory even before it, you know, you physically seen it, repeating God's word like that, that combination is a secret place. Oh, yes. And that's how, you know, the Bible puts it in Job chapter 28, you know, and verse 7. There is a path which no fowl knoweth, where the vulture eye has not seen. It's a secret place. A fowl is like those evil spirits and those demonic powers trying to get at you. Well, they can't figure it out when you hide yourself in the Lord like that. They're blinded. They can't really see. They stumble. They're like blind bats. They stumble around and hit the wall. Because God put up a shield with you inside the Lord, you know, in his presence. That's how Psalm 91 puts it. You know, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, even he shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You got to figure out what that secret place might be. What's it look like? I will say of the Lord, I mean, this is it. This is the way that David put it out all the time. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, In him will I trust. Glory to God. And you should personalize this Psalm 91 for yourself. You should say, surely he will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover me with his feathers, and under his wing shall I trust. His truth shall be my shield and buckler. I will not be afraid of terror by night, nor for the arrow that fly by day, nor for pestilence that walketh in darkness. Arrow that fly by day, that's like bullets and different things. I will not be afraid. Lord, be my shield. You know, any pestilence, any destruction, either noonday, in darkness or whatever, it's not going to come near me. 1,000 shall fall at my side. 10,000 may fall my right hand, but it shall not come nigh me. Only with my eyes shall I behold and see the reward of the wicked, because I have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, my habitation. Well, therefore, there shall no evil befall me. Now, if you are dwelling inside God, it's like God is your fortress. You are in there. Nothing can penetrate. That's what he's saying. Therefore, there shall no evil befall me. Neither shall any plague come near my dwelling, because that dwelling is the Lord. For he will give his charge, angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways. They shall bear me up in their hands, lest I dash my foot against a stone. The Lord will cause me to tread upon lion and adder, and so forth. He said, young lion, dragon, shall I trample underfoot, and on and on and on. And you can just see how the Lord will protect you when you are in his presence. Praise the Lord. That we can see God's protection. Psalm 107 and verse 20. The word of the Lord, you can use that word to pull yourself out of many troubles. You know, use that word to change situations. Use that word, pull yourself out of troubles. Psalm 107. And verse 20, the Lord sent his word and healed them and delivered them out of their destructions, all by the word of the Lord. You can use that word, to obtain deliverance and protection for yourself. Remember, today's topic is about deliverance and protection from the Lord. Promises. That assure us of that. Praise the Lord. Psalm 121, the whole psalm, it's a powerful psalm. You know, that we can grab a hold of at any time for our protection. Use it, and recognize the benefits that God gives. And all you have to do is read the psalm for yourself, and you'll see. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer my foot to be moved. He that keepeth me will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is my keeper. The Lord is my shade upon my right hand. The sun shall not smite me by day, nor the moon by night. Why? These things were created by God, and they serve God. I serve God. God's servants cannot be fighting each other. Glory to God. Sun does his thing at God's command. Moon does his thing at God's command. I do my thing at God's command. We are all servants of God. We cannot be at loggerheads. Sun cannot be smiting me, neither can moon smite me. Praise the Lord. The Lord shall preserve me from all evil. Hallelujah. Shall preserve my soul. The Lord shall preserve my going out and my coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. You claim this for yourself. Declare it in the morning for yourself. Declare it over your children. Declare it over your loved ones. Declare it over your path. Everything that has to do with you, he will do it too for you. Praise the Lord. powerful, powerful psalms. You know, God also promised protection, you know, in time of trouble. And, you know, not only will God save us, you know, out of our troubles, he can also save you from trouble. Which one is better? Yeah, I think from trouble is better than out of trouble. You know, God can, you know, no matter what miry clay you find yourself in, he can pull you out. But he can also keep you from the evil in the first place. You know, so, you know, by using wisdom and prudence and discretion, many times we can, you know, avoid the pitfalls. The Lord will show you. He said, a prudent man foreseeth the evil. Well, if you are careless, you'll fall into that evil. But if you have faith, God will pull you out. But if you use wisdom and discretion, you know, by the guidance of the Lord in the first place, you don't even have to fall into that ditch. You know, but if you did fall, that God will pull you out. So either way, God will protect you. But I think it's better to believe that he can deliver me without me getting into trouble. I mean, isn't it easier to believe God, that God will protect me from getting into a ghastly accident, than to believe that you will have a ghastly accident and then walk away from it? Yeah. Just believe that the Lord will keep you from that evil. That was the prayer of Jesus. He said, Father, I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil. And Jesus already prayed that prayer. He knew what he was praying, you know, and that's the way that I pray. Lord, keep me from the evil. Keep my wife, my children, their children after them, my brethren. Keep all us all from the evil. You know, that's a greater prayer of faith than deliver me out of evil. When you're already in there, God can still deliver you, but he can't keep you from it in the first place. Glory to God. You know, so we can believe that. And I think if we spend more time praying and believing God and commanding your day, you know, we might fall into fewer troubles during the day. You know, but if we don't do it and we fall into trouble, well, the Lord will still deliver you, but you'll get hurt. You know, and if you get hurt, the Lord will still heal you, but he might leave some scars, you know. So let's believe God, that God is able to keep us from the evil in the first place. Hallelujah. You know, that's to me, I think that's a greater height of faith, believing that God is able to keep us in the first place. John chapter 17, verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. This is Jesus praying to the Father. Don't take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil. Glory to God. So God is able to keep us, you know, from the evil. And we got to believe that. Many these promises that I share with you today are to, you know, for you to believe that God is able to do that for you. Psalm 138 and verse 7. Throughout the Psalms, all the way, if he's not praising God, then he's talking about God's power to deliver. You know, and mingled with praises and all declarations about the attributes of God that can protect and shield you, well, then you will experience it. And David was a man that always experienced that, because he knew, you know, how to praise the Lord and depend upon the Lord's deliverance, the ability for the Lord to save him. Psalm 138, verse 7, though I walk, you know, in the midst of trouble, thou will revive me. Thou stretch my hand, thy hand out against the wrath of my enemies, and the right hand shall save me. Well, there were times that he was actually in that trouble. Other times, well, the Lord can keep you out of it. Let's believe God. He can keep you out of it. Praise God. Now, he said, well, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he pulled me out of the miry clay. It's like that miry clay is like, you know, quicksand. You know, the more you struggle, the deeper you get. but the Lord can pull you out. But I pray that the Lord will prevent you, you know, from the snares of death in the first place. That the Lord prevent you from even falling into the quicksand. Praise God, you know. Now, if we allow the Lord, you know, to guide us, and we spend time in praying, He may even deliver us from many things, you know. Because the eye of the Lord can see the evil that the devil is planning. When the devil is trying to set a trap, you know, the Lord can see it. And He can protect you from it. In the book of Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 17, He says, you know, in vain is a trap set in the plain sight of any bird. You know, the bird is looking at you and you're setting a trap for that bird. He's not going to fall for it because he already seen it. You know, that's the same way the eyes of the eagle, the Lord, He sees everything that the devil is trying to set as a trap for you. And it's in vain, for the Lord is seeing it. And He knows where the lion mines are in that field. And if you navigate with Him, don't jump ahead of the Lord. You might step on a landmine. And things will blow up, you know. But if you let the Lord lead you where He put His step, you put your step. And you stay lockstep with Him. He knows where those landmines are. And He'll guide you through it. Praise the Lord. Because the eye of the Lord will see every landmine that the devil has set. That's why we ought to spend time in praying for God's protection and using His promises for you and your children and their children after them. Let's do it. You know, praise the Lord. Now, I am going to leave that there for today. I have more promises that I want to deal with. But that's why I titled this part one, because I knew that it's going to be a lot and I don't want to stress myself to cover everything in one day. There's more promises of God's deliverance and protection for you. And I'm just going chronologically throughout the Bible. Started from Genesis. God told Abraham, I am your shield. You know, went on to Exodus where He said, I will make a differentiation between you and the rest of the world. We went on to Numbers where He said, no enchantment or divination prosper against you. And went on to Deuteronomy where He said, the Lord is with you. He will not fail you. It is He that goes with you. He will defend you and will never forsake you. We went on to Job that said, the Lord will disappoint all the devices of the wicked that they plan against you. Their hands cannot perform any of their enterprises that they are plotting against you. God will frustrate them. Glory to God. Then we went to the book of Psalms. Many, many Psalms. The Lord will defend them that put their trust in Him. The Lord will defend the poor from the oppressor. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my strength. You know, relate to the God like that. God promised protection from fear and the valley of the shadow of death. He'll pull you out of there. The Lord is your light, the strength of your salvation, no matter what. The angel of the Lord, you know, deliver you out of trouble, camp around you. And I said, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. And then powerful, powerful promises of protection if we stay, you know, in the secret place of the Most High. And, you know, use the word of God. I said, the Lord sent His word, deliver them out of all their troubles. And the Lord is our help. He'll watch over you. Preserve your going out and your coming in. Protection from trouble and the onslaught of your enemies. So these are all the promises. I just went through a quick review there of what we have done today. Got much more. I will proceed next time through the book of Proverbs, book of Isaiah, book of Jeremiah. You know, all the promises. God promised various things for deliverance. Powerful promises in the book of Isaiah. And then I will also proceed to the New Testament and all the other promises that God promised us. And you put these things in your bag. I don't want to say bag of tricks, but, you know, put them in your toolbox and pull them out, pull out these promises at any time that the devil come up against you. Remind the Lord, yourself, and the devil of the word of God. You know that God has promised, and you use them to obtain our protection. So that's it, ladies and gentlemen, for today. Part one of these powerful, powerful promises of protection and deliverance from God. Now you stay tuned for more that's coming out of the book of, Proverbs and the book of Job and Isaiah. Oh my goodness. The things that are coming out of that book and then onto the New Testament promises. Praise God. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the word that we have shared. God's promises of protection and deliverance from us. And if we make the Lord our hiding place, then no evil shall befall us. Teach us, Lord, what that means. Praise God. Teach us, Lord, to build confidence through praising the Lord, repeating his word. Build that confidence that the Lord will always fight for us. Thank you, Father. Give you all the praise. Give you all the glory. I pray protection over everyone that's here today. Deliverance and protection. Protection from evil. The eyes of the Lord, the eyes of the eagle, he has seen it all. The devil planning a snare for you, it's vain. It's set in plain view. And God, everything is in plain view. God sees it all. Praise God. He never slumbers. He never sleeps. Watches over you. Glory to God. Now, Lord, we thank you that you are able to protect us. Not only to deliver us from trouble that we are already in, able to do that as well. But you are able to protect us from falling into that trouble in the first place. I pray for as many as find themselves in trouble of any kind, financial, emotional, health, whatever, that the Lord, will able to deliver and give us courage to believe. He can pull us out of it by using your word. And the Lord drew me out of the miry clay. He can do it too. Praise God. And we also pray, Lord, each day that you will help us to put ourselves in that secret place where you can even deliver us from falling into that problem in the first place. We thank you, Lord, as we go through the rest of this day. Deliver us from accidents. We're not going to fall into those things. Deliver us, O Lord, from sudden illnesses and different things that come upon people suddenly. Our trust in the Lord is that none of these things shall befall us in Jesus' name. Not even a dog, you said, will wag its mouth or tongue against the people of the Lord, that you may know how that the Lord doth make a separation between his people and the children of Egypt. Lord, with that separation, gross darkness covering the world now, men's hearts failing them for fear, and so many things happening, yet the ability of the Lord to protect his children. Glory to God. I will never leave you and forsake you. Thank you, Father. And sometimes we find ourselves in different situations. Well, God will be with you even in that situation. Doesn't matter how you get there. Whether through even errors, mistakes, lapses in judgment and different things that we may have done. Doesn't matter. Cry unto the Lord and he'll pull you out all the same. Thank you, Jesus. I pray, Lord, for healing where there has been bruising. Jeremiah 30 and 17 says, I will heal you of your wounds, sir. Glory to God. And I will restore health unto you. Wherever there has been bruising, Lord, of our internal organs, health, liver, heart, kidney, whatever. Bruising by illnesses and diseases. And different contamination of blood. The Lord said, I will heal you and cleanse your blood. I pray for healing. I pray for strength where we've been weakened. He said, his strength will give strength to the weary. Yeah. And to them that have no might, he will even renew their power and their strength. And those that wait upon him shall mount up with wings as eagles. I pray, Lord, for great, great great confidence in the Lord throughout the rest of this year to go up on through the next year. Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.